You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters, your source for all things business. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. And if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right. So today I have Lori Sigalito on the line, and she's a founder and CEO over at Local News Network. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, Lori, when I saw this interview queued up, I was excited. I'm like, wait a minute, I get to bring another news person on the line. I'm excited about this. And then when I learned more about Local News Network and your mission and really how you're giving a voice to not only small town America, but also to really the stories that would not be told. So we're going to get further into what that looks like. And we might poke a little fun at the Facebooks and Google of the world, just a little. But maybe just to get us kicked off, because I think it's a really valid and interesting story. Like, how did you get, started on this news path? Were you always on that path to be in the news business?
Well, no, not at all. So it was funny, I showed up here, but, actually I came from the technology background, data integration, working for corporate companies, doing data warehousing before data warehousing was cool, and data mining and so forth. And I did that for about 30 years. So I really had a strong corporate background, but I worked for a small boutique software company. So I learned how to kind of seem like we're bigger than really we are when working in businesses. So that was kind of an interesting background. But then I left that industry to live in Durango, Colorado. So moved from New York City to Durango, Colorado, a really small town here. And tried to start a business here. And I opened up a franchising business, but quickly learned that it was very difficult to create news and get news out here in small towns. And so that's kind of how I ended up being in the news industry. But my background is purely technology and not media or journalism.
Wow. And it's interesting because I look at your background, then I look at mine. And I'm like, I'm from finance. Like I was in that business almost 14 years before getting into media. And I'm like, I don't know how it sucked me in, but apparently it got you too. So your background in data mining, working in software, like how did this switch to news, and specifically like local news? How did that take place?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it certainly was not my plan. I actually had won an airport advertising contract here in Durango, Colorado. And as part of that, I was changing out all just the static signs to be more digital signs. And then when we did that, you needed video. And that was about 10 years ago. And video was still pretty expensive to get done for an ad. And so for me, trying to get a local business to pay a reoccurring advertising of $150 a month, they needed to go spend $4,000 to get a video ad done. And then that made it so it wasn't possible. So I bought the local video production company in town, thinking, okay, well, I'll just produce the videos for them. And then I can control that cost. Mm-hmm. And, so what ended up happening, along with it came this little access to the local TV station that they had a leased line. And all of a sudden we're like, hey, what could we use this for? And about that time, our newspaper was struggling. And, we said, there's just not a good enough local news. Why don't we start producing local news? And I had no idea what I was doing. So we hired some people, we started producing local news, and we realized just how hard it is to fill a TV station with good news. And so along the way, we just started trying different things. And I think because my background was systems development, and we built everything we were learning into a platform concept. And so once we kind of came up with a model that was really working to create local news and get it out there, all of a sudden we looked up and local news was kind of being devastated across the country. And we said, you know, there's no reason we can't take what we've done here in Durango, Colorado, and replicate that across the country and solve this problem in a very unique, different way.
Wow. I love the thought. I love the concept. And I love that you really took that systems approach. So at Mission Matters, I mean, that's exactly what we tried to do, or we try to do day in and day out, is to take this systematic approach. Because what many people don't understand is that, you know, news and all this, like, it's a business. Even though you may be watching this video for free, even though you may be reading a blog post for free, even though you may be on a website for free, like, it's a business. Like, there has to be somebody in some way, shape, or form that pays for that video. It doesn't get done just for your entertainment. Can you tell me, like, as you started getting into the business side of things, when you started thinking about the evolution of it, where you're like, wow, like number one, this could work. But number two, there's some interesting, it's an interesting area to play in, so to speak, because so much is changing in the landscape.
Right. Right. Yeah. So there's many aspects to that. You know, I think the first thing we learned is that we needed to do things in video. As opposed to print or written word, because written word really goes to print, or you're so limited to what you can do with that. And it doesn't have a long evergreen quality to it, where all of a sudden when you do that same story with video, it lasts for a longer period of time. And when you do something in video, it's really the superset of all media. So you can take, slice and dice that one story, if you put time and effort into that one story, and use it and distribute it lots of different ways. So our goal was to reduce the cost of how much it costs to produce content, and then make it so you could distribute it in many different ways. And so that was the main premise behind what we were doing. And it just opened up many doors that we weren't planning to have open, and made it more sustainable, I guess. That's so, one aspect of it.
So your target market is small town USA, where I believe 30% of the population essentially resides. So there's this huge segment of audience that I feel personally is being underserved that you're going directly to help. So I love this. But in your words, why is local news and working in these small towns so important?
So another great question. And it really is an underserved market, because people go after like Albuquerque's and Littleton, Colorado, and these towns that seem small, but they're actually big. Yeah. And all the towns around those that get no news about their community. So most rural America feel like they get local news, but it isn't anything about who they are, their high schools, their county commissioners, and so forth. Mm-hmm. But what I realized as we kind of delved into this from a business standpoint, because media is very different. It's not like opening a Fast Signs. I own a Fast Signs, and you buy a printer, you open the door, they come in, you place an order, you put the logo on it, boom, done, you're making money. That is not what media is. You have to, number one, create content that people want to watch. Mm-hmm. Then you have to get them to watch it. And then you have to prove that they're watching it and keep them watching it. And then you can get revenue. And so it is a long-term process to be able to build that whole model in place. But what we learned in building this model was that there's a whole ecosystem around local news that people aren't aware of. So we didn't really understand either the impact of Amazon would have to our towns when the retail businesses started going out of business because, you know, they're losing to Amazon. We then be like, oh my gosh, it's really important to do things locally. Well, the same is true with local news. So there's this whole ecosystem around local news that when you produce the news, people start watching it because it's interesting. And then the local businesses then want to reach that audience. And so they start advertising on it. That gives you more money to start producing more news stories. And as you're producing more news stories, you're able to support the new nonprofits with getting their stories out. And then you start building this whole ecosystem around relevant, local, interesting news that matters. And when you're doing that, you're keeping that money in the community. So every time one of those local advertisers would go, I don't know how to reach my neighbor, I have to go to Facebook or I have to go to pay-per-click, that money goes directly out of our community and never comes back into our community. And in small towns, you feel that. You really understand on that. And so that was kind of the bigger picture we were trying to solve as well, is how do we keep money in our town by helping our local businesses reach their local audience?
That's relevant. And I want to repeat one of the things that you brought up there, because I want to make sure everybody gets it. So here's the thing, is if you're supporting your local news and you're and local advertisers are, and then that system that you talked about, whether it's a nonprofit supporting that, whether it's local fundraisers, whether it's even just the content hitting the right eyeballs to educate that community, that's a big deal. Whereas with your other example, if you, I'm not against Facebook advertising, but once you spend that dollar on Facebook advertising, that's out of the community. That's not coming back. Like that's 100% been extracted from the community, depending on what small town it is. So they'll continue to collect their data. They'll continue to do what they do, but that doesn't necessarily have any reciprocal benefit to you overall.
No. And I think we've lost our way in a lot of ways by this whole concept of it has to be measured. If it can't be measured, don't do it. And I feel like that's really hurt the small town businesses, because they think they're getting taken advantage of if you can't measure it. Mm. Well, you couldn't really never measure newspapers before. You knew how many got thrown out on doorsteps and so forth, but you don't know if they opened it to that page and saw it. But it did work, and it provided a lot of value to these businesses. And so I think that the counting is really good when you're going after Houston and you want to slice and dice and just get those guys who want Hawaiian shorts, you know, or something like that. But in these smaller towns where you're less densely populated, mm-hmm. you need to reach everybody with one ad, one reach. I want to reach everybody any way I can reach them. And if you can't measure it, bummer. But if you can measure it, great. Some things can, mm-hmm. some things can't. But don't throw it out because you can't measure it. I think that hurts us when we have that mentality.
Mm. Let's talk about the content. So the type of content that you're producing and the types of stories that you like and that your demographic are watching. So tell us a little bit more about your content.
Okay. So our content is vastly different than what you would see in any local newspapers that are still out there. Mm-hmm. They're moving to that paywall and pay-per-click. And so they tend to have sensationalized stories, headlines, and so forth mm-hmm. to be able to get that. That's just the model they're stuck in right now. Yeah. Our model is more, we want to be able to do one piece of content that works for a long period of time, 5 to 7 days. So it needs to be more celebratory, more informative, educational about a community. So it tends to not be negative or divisive in any way. It's not that we try to stay back from doing watchdog news, but we find that the news we're producing is more interesting. Like, let's do a story on the local tennis team. What is the local tennis team learning? And what are the graduates going to do now differently? Or our local airport just got two new airlines coming in. That's a huge thing to our community, to have two new airlines coming into our airport. Or a local book writer just wrote in a story for the 13-year-olds in their community. And so we can put something in the local bookshop. And so it's highlighting people in the community. It's highlighting businesses and what they're doing in the community, different nonprofits. And we're finding that just makes people feel good about the community they're in.
And you mentioned that, you know, a lot of other news outlets are going to that paywall or paper. So you said you're doing the opposite. So it's still free?
Yes, that is a key point. And I just look at everything that's happening. It gets so frustrating to me, because if you look at what happened, Google and Facebook, whether they meant to do it or not, I don't think mm-hmm. they meant to do it, but they basically ate their children, mm-hmm. Is how I like to say it, by they were just taking everybody's content and putting it out there and taking all the advertising dollars. And, you know, the businesses that were creating content went out of business. Mm-hmm. And so now they're putting the finger in the dike and going, whoa, we need to have you guys stay in business because we need you to create content. So we're going to teach you how to build paywalls onto your piece. And we're going to then maybe pay you a little bit for your content, maybe. And we're going to give it all for free on ours. And we're going to keep all the advertising. Well, to me, that is just not a sustainable model either.
Yeah.
And, you know, we might not mind paying to be able to see something on then the Washington Post or the New York Times, but people do not feel like they need to pay for local news. Mm-hmm. And so they tend to not pay. And then they get their news all from social media, which is not always the best or vetted. And so it really is important to our smaller communities to have some sort of vetted news that's available to everyone for free.
Yeah. And one of those things though, what like that gets me, and I think they ate their children on purpose. So I'll throw that out. That's my okay. personal bias. You didn't say it. I said it, but okay. I was one of those people that like, okay, so they have you build this business page up, right? And then you get all these thousands of followers, subscribe, and all these other things. And then they flip the script and the algorithm. And now you can't reach the people that you want, that wanted to follow your page in the first place, unless you pay. And it's like, right. Well, wait a minute. So first they have you use it to bring everybody on the platform, build the page, and now you have to pay to reach your own audience.
Right. And the other thing I think is so crazy, if you look at, you know, they're giving millions and millions of dollars out to try to help local news. And I just think it's hysterical. I mean, it is nice and it's good that they're helping local news, but what they're doing is teaching them to learn how to ask for donations and how to build those paywalls. And so now you're donating to the local newspaper and the newspaper is putting a paywall in it. So only the rich people get to read it. Mm. And I mean, it's just upside down. And so, but what's interesting is when we decided to like, we're going to make ours free, it changes the ballgame because you just want to push it out there everywhere. So you want to open it up to all the aggregators. Yeah, Google, Facebook, pick up our story. That is awesome because we're going to embed our advertisers and our sponsors. And we're going to leverage you guys to be able to help get our messaging out and our local stories out to whoever wants to read it, whoever wants to consume it. And, you know, Durango, Colorado is a pretty popular little town internationally. We have a following for our local news, all but in 6 countries across the world that have reached us. And, you know, whether it's because they have kids here from Rotary, they're going to school, who knows? But it's fascinating to be able to have a product that you're proud of and you're pushing it out for free. And we're really just rebuilding what used to work for 200 years for the newspaper was be along with good, trusted local information, reach the local people that want to view it and advertise along that. And so we're just rebuilding that, but with technology, a scalable platform, and a new way of delivering the news.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you brought up Rotary because I remember speaking of business pages, I remember trying to build a Rotary a Facebook page for our club out here in Century City. And I was like, do you understand to build a Facebook page, to build that page, to put out that content? That's a job. Like we can't just put out like, okay, we want to like put out this, you know, announcement and then it's done for you. I'm like, we get to do this. It's like, we can't all be media stations. So I remember having that conversation with the board I was on and I'm like, this is an undertaking. And even when we put all this information out, there's no guarantee that the people that are part of this club are actually going to see it. There's no guarantee. So speaking of seeing it and seeing the content, I think what you're doing with your distribution is pretty unique. Can you tell us a little bit more about the in-person experience as well? Because I think especially for small towns, like that's a game changer.
Yeah, no, good point. So it kind of goes along the lines of when you used to like go to the doctor's office and you're waiting and all of a sudden you pick up the newspaper that was sitting there and you're flipping and looking at it. Well, you take that concept, but we put it onto TV. So we put digital displays in key businesses around town that there is a dwell time, a wait time. And then we entertain that audience while they're waiting for their hamburger or waiting in line to deposit their check, wherever it might be. And we deliver our news. We deliver our news stories and we deliver our advertisers' stories as well at that same time. And so all of a sudden, we're pushing it into the community. So where we do have it on online and mobile and so forth, that means you have to go on and look for it specifically to find it. But we're actually pushing it directly into the community. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a fun example of it. We push it into the TV stations at one of the hotels. And somebody was, I guess, at the hotel guest and they saw something. The husband saw a story. And then they went to Alpine Bank, one of our customers, advertisers, and they host a display. And so they're sitting in the lobby and one of the tellers overhears them say, "Oh, honey, look, that's the story I saw in the hotel room. And it's here at the, you know, Alpine Bank in the lobby." So people think they're seeing TV, but they're watching a digital display that we're pushing and controlling the content directly for our advertisers and our news specifically.
Oh, that's great. And I want to go further along that line of advertisers and people that keep this all going. So tell us a little bit more about the types of, the types of customers / advertisers / supporters that you look to attract to the platform overall.
Yeah. So we allow advertising to be sold very easy. Our whole goal is just to make it very easy for local businesses who are so busy. Because when you're in a small town, you don't have a staff to do your marketing. You're pushing your tires out the door every night and in every night. And you just don't have time to focus on everything. So we try to make it really easy for local businesses to be seen in their community. And that's our goal. And we'll talk about what we are as a platform is really that long-term game. We're helping you brand and get your messaging out. And then if you want to have like a, happy hour or a specific campaign, well, maybe that's a good radio one. And then if you really want to just highlight a few things with a little sprinkles on it, well, that's good for Facebook. You know, so we try to help them understand how you go about advertising. And we usually go with companies who banks are very good. They want to be in the community. Electric companies that want to just be a part. They don't necessarily have something to advertise, but they really, it's important for them to be seen in the community. Mm-hmm. Insurance companies, car dealerships, all kinds of different local businesses are interested.
And do national advertisers or more or larger businesses that are located in other states, do they also use your platform to kind of tap into those local markets that they have trouble reaching to?
So we haven't opened it up to them yet. We feel like we need to build it out a little bigger before we do, but that will absolutely be one of our markets. But right now, I mean, things always change. But right now, our view is that only a local business can sponsor the news. That's the people who are embedded in the story itself, and it goes out everywhere. So you have to have a local business to sponsor it. But once we get to 1,000 or more digital displays throughout communities in the country, I think we'll be able to tap into that national brands to be able to deliver local store, their ad directly into that local community. And I think there's an interest for that. And sure. I believe in that.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, it's win-win for the communities and otherwise too, like for the right content. And that's where it becomes interesting. And what you're doing is so special with Local News Network is to be able to craft the right content that's relevant, because just sticking another ad on there for the sake of putting another ad on there doesn't really move the needle, in my opinion. So it has to still be, thoughtful content, which is, I know what you're doing. So that's what's really special, in my opinion. So that being said, you mentioned, 1,000 different displays. I mean, like what's next? What's the future of Local News Network look like?
Yeah. So, we've been doing this for a little over 2 years, and we actually made it through COVID, which was really a great test. And
that's a big deal. That's not an easy thing for a news outlet to make it through like big things like that. I mean, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It was interesting because we were able to really, because we own these digital displays, we're able to really change the way of what was being displayed. So we put a runner on the top and we're giving information all the time. And realize there's this really good news brief thing that we could take advantage of. So we almost look like CNN on our digital displays around town. But so right now we've been proving the model out for a couple of years, and we feel very good about our model. We're right now actually raising money. We want to be able to prove out the model in two more local areas. So maybe another one in Colorado, maybe another one in Texas. And then once we really use that funding to prove out our model, then we'll go for a bigger round, to really put some, gas in our engine and take off. But, there's 1800 communities and counties in our country that have lost access to daily local news. That's a third of our country. And, as more people with COVID are moving from the larger cities to the smaller towns, they've realized they can do that. I feel the need is going to increase even further for the need for good local news.
Wow. That's significant when you say it that way. And you're right. I look at some of these communities and where people are moving out of, and just the way that that remote has changed everything of where people live, where they want to live, how they want to spend their days. I look at that and I'm like, and now I'm thinking about it in like kind of some of my day to day and thinking about all the local news that is no longer there that I grew up with, where I'm like, to hear about the local Rotary or to hear about a school board or to hear about like, how does somebody find that out or stay involved in the community other than, I mean, at best, and I'm not saying anything bad, but at best, maybe your church bulletin might have it or like something like that. But that's your best, like local news. Other than that, if you don't care about it, or if you don't support local news, or if you don't consume that content, then what happens is it's gone. And once it's gone, it's really hard to bring back. Like you said, newspapers have been around 200 years. If they're out, they're gone. I mean, or if they're not covering, or even just the staff, so the journalists, the reporting, the people that are covering the stories, the producers, like all that functionality, when those don't, like, they're not replaced, or they're not changed, then it's gone. And then our stories are gone. And then our history is also gone. And it just becomes a matter of what, and I'm not against social media. We have lots of social media platforms over here. So not against that. But do we really want, like, our history and like how we used to be able to go back in newspapers and look and see all these things? Do we really want that to be looking back on a timeline and trying to figure out what was real, what was fake, what was this, what was vetted, what was not? Like, is that where we really want our history to be?
Yeah, and I think a good point, and we didn't really touch on this, is that in our model, we think it's key that you have to have a local journalist. Mm. You have to have somebody, a feet on the street. I think you have to have both a local journalist.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they have to do all the video work. We're doing that all remotely. So our model is really a few essential people in the community, and then supported with remote support and then centralized distribution. So we've kind of built a three-tiered business model to be able to support this growth, but you can't do it through artificial intelligence. You can't do it through, looking at the internet and calling in and making a phone call. You've got to be local, and you have to have local video if you're going to do what we're doing. And so that is key. And I think what makes us different is that we understand that, coming from a small town, and we understand it takes work. This is not a simple task, but it can be done, and we're proving it can be done, and it needs to be done one town at a time, multiple at a time, but each town has to be addressed specifically for that town. You know, some towns are more interested in sports. Some towns are more interested in agricultural news. And so you have to, it's not just a one size fits all.
Yeah.
The model allows it, but that local piece and the local feel is what's so key.
It's awesome. And just thinking back, like, so journalists, like having that local journalist, it was their name that was on the line for what was reported. And that was the impetus to do right, because it's their name, it's their reputation, it's their craft. I mean, that's different. That's different than, you know, just somebody putting something out there and with a flashy headline so they can get more clicks, maybe. Like, it's a total different feel. And that's what I want to look back at, is that type of content. And so I'm excited about Local News Network, because I think being able to look back at that content, especially because you're doing so much in video, it gives us a whole different, like, catalog that we can look back at, just as a civilization progressing, right? A whole different catalog out there of content that people can look at as a trusted source.
Yeah. And we leverage YouTube and other ones to be able to push it out there and let them archive it for us. And so it is a matter of really leveraging what they do really well, but not letting them take control of you, you know, keeping some of our money back in our communities. That's what we got to figure out how to do and focus on.
It's awesome. Well, Lori, this has been an absolute pleasure. It's rare I get to talk to the local news, well, not just Local News Network, but somebody else that's in the same type of business that has the same passion and fire for really making sure that these, that not only small town USA, but that the businesses, the business owners have a voice and have a say, and that they get to see the right type of content that's well thought out. So really appreciate you coming on the show today and being a part of it. And of course, to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. Definitely want you to be a return visitor and guest. And Lori, thanks again for coming on the show. It really has been a pleasure. If somebody wants to learn more and to connect with the Local News Network, what's the best way for everybody to follow, to watch? I mean, give us all of that.
Yeah, sure. You know, there's probably lots of ways to reach us, but the best is our website, which is thelocalnews.us. And that's, you can find out everything you need there, and look forward to hearing from you. And Adam, thank you. This was fun to have this conversation.
Thank you. And one more time, that address, one more time for them. Maybe they were writing it down. Maybe they were typing it in. How do they connect?
Thelocalnews.us.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Thanks again, Lori. This has been awesome.
Thank you. All right. Have a great day.